Just, we're not going to discuss that today. We're going to set this up for next Sunday. So if you're able to come, please come. It's going to help you understand this passage. So the number one thing as we read this one verse, the first verse, I am the true vine, bring up number one again, and my Father is the vine dresser or the husbandman. Okay, so the first verse tells us that the first point here is the vineyard belongs to God automatically. He says, I'm the true vine and my Father is the vine dresser. He owns the vineyard. He owns you and I. He is in control of you and I. He's like the gardener, you know, he's like the farmer of the farm, and he plants the seed, he fertilizes, he waters, he tills the ground, and that's who the vine dresser is. That's who we're talking about. He's talking about God, his Father. So what we see here is that the vineyard, which is us, we're the fruit, we're the grapes that he's talking about. And when you attach yourself to the vine, who is Jesus, we are the fruit that becomes fruitful because we're nourishment from Jesus. But the Father, God, has set all this up. And so I want you to see that the vineyard belongs to God. He doesn't take long. Listen to this. You know, when a toddler starts to grow up, 2 or 3 year old, kind of the first sentence or the first two words he'll say sometimes is, no, mine, isn't it? He grabs on or she grabs on to everything. It could be like the dirtiest, it could be a mud pie. No, it's mine, no, mine, no, mine. There's some adults that have never grown out of that stage. Think about it. That we still say, God, it's mine, it's mine. And so there's many times, even in my own life, where I've made a fist and I looked at God and said, no, God, it's mine. You know, sometimes we say, God, it was my good health. It's mine. I want it back. God, that was my money. That was my retirement. That was my 401k. That was my retirement. I want it back. It's mine. This is my future. I went to school. I got the education. I worked hard. I did what they asked of me. And now it's mine. Now you want me to change this in midstream. God, it's mine. I'll take this one for myself. Not you, because I know it's not in this church. I'm serious. But God, says the church member, I gave you years of time to this church. I gave my thousands of dollars to this church. My sweat. In fact, my wife and I in the last church, we built a church. We were part of building New Life Church. Money, sweat, blood, tears, family coming together. I mean, we built a church, literally, because our contractor ran off with our money. Someone had to build a church. We did, right, Danny? We did. So this isn't you, this is me. It's my, you know, I gave all this, God. Now it's changing. It's not what it was. God, this is my church. I want it back. That was me. And God says, it wasn't yours to begin with. That church was not yours. Either God builds a church or we build the church. And God built New Life. Yeah, it was our sweat and blood and money and family and tears and everything. And if we continue to think this way, then we miss the point that God, everything belongs to the Father God. Everything you have, your time, your money, your serving, no matter what it is, for us to bear fruit, for us to get to this point of in this message, is that we need to know that He belongs to the vineyard. He is in control of the vineyard. Scripture says he's a jealous God, that he will tolerate no other gods, that he would never relinquish his right to be God. That's a jealous God. That's an awesome God, but that's a jealous God. We cannot find our purpose without realizing our place. Where is your place? Because once you find your place, once you know that my life belongs to the Father God, you'll know your purpose. And I want to help our church. Well, I want to help us as God moves us into a season of whatever He has for us, we need to know that He is in charge of this church. And what He's called us to do, He will prepare us. In a garden, the branch doesn't tell the vine what to do. Think about it. Doesn't tell the vine what to do. Bearing fruit, the Lord demands that you release control. There is no option to this. This isn't optional. Well, Sherry gets to stay in control and Glenn doesn't. Lou gets to stay in control, but Elena doesn't. There's no option here. Either God is the owner of the vineyard or He's not. Either He is the head of this church or He's not. He's the great shepherd. I'm only a shepherd that He's asked to take care of His children. That's all. That's all I am. He's the great shepherd. So the good news, that's the bad news. The bad news, there is no option. The bad news, we have to relinquish control if you want to start bearing fruit. The good news is you don't have to carry the weight all by yourself. Hallelujah. You do not have to carry the weight all by yourself. See, you don't have to carry the weight of the branch. Your only job is to bear fruit. Boy, this is making more sense to me every day I read it. I'm trying to bear fruit. We don't try to bear fruit. We don't try to be saved. We don't try to be righteous. We don't try to be holy. Why? Because Jesus is righteous. Jesus is holy. Jesus is perfect. So I bear fruit not because I work at bearing fruit. It's because me, the vine, the branch, is hooked up to Jesus, who is the vine, who brings all the nourishment. He's doing all the work. That's what He did for salvation. He did all the work. We just sang all the songs. That's the trouble with church today, is that we're trying to work at being something, and God says, wait a minute, I thought my Son did all the work. What are you doing? Why aren't you receiving it? I'm getting excited. And the hottest day of the year, I'm getting excited. Okay. Are you getting that? This just that one point right there would make you just change your whole outlook on what God wants to do in your life. Number two is, who is your vine? Who is your vine? How many things do I attach myself to? How many things have you attached yourself to? Some people think their vine, like I said, is their bank account, their education, relationships, skills, possessions. Some people even think that the church, like I just said, is their vine. The church is not your vine. The church is not your vine. Jesus is your vine. Jesus is your vine. Jesus is your vine. Some people, when they come to church, they attach themselves to a religion. This isn't a religion. This is a relationship with Jesus. This is God being my Lord and Savior. This is God being your Lord and Savior. This isn't about religion. Religion has do's and don'ts. Jesus said, will you receive? And I'll teach you how to walk with me. And then verse 1, I like what verse 1 says. He says, I am. He starts off with, I am. I am. He calls Himself the I am. He's not just another religion. He's it. Jesus is it. Jesus is. Jesus is. There is nothing else. There is no other religion. There is no other God. There is no other Jesus. There's no other Son of God. There's no one else coming. There's no other sacrifice. That's why He says, I am. I am the bread of life. I am the light of the world. I am the door. I am the truth, the way, and the life. And I'm the way, the truth, and the life. I am the good shepherd. I am. I am. There is no other. I am. And when you grasp a hold of that the vine, that Jesus is the vine, there is no other vine. There is no other vine. Jesus, He says, I am. Is the I am in your life? Is He your good shepherd? Is He your door? Is He the only way? Is He the only truth? And is He the only life-saving God that you have? Is He your protector? Is He your provider? There is nobody else. And so He starts right off with, I am. But I like, as you read this, I am only, get a load of this, I am only because the number one thing is he even belongs to the Father. The Father is in control of him also. That he knows. He says in the verse, in verse 31, the one right before this one in chapter 14, but that the world may know that I love the Father, and as the Father gave me commandment, so I do. Arise, let us go. He says, my Father, I'm doing what my Father's called me to do. If Jesus can only do what he sees his Father do, what are we doing? What are we doing? Where are we attaching ourselves to? He's the true vine. This word true, it means opposite to what is fictitious, counterfeit, imaginary, defective, frail, uncertain. Wow. It's the opposite. Jesus is the true. The word true means absolutely genuine. Jesus is not one of the many vines. He's not a false vine. Without Christ, you are abiding in a false vine. Oh, Pastor Tom, you're treading on some holy ground there, some sacred ground. No, if it isn't Jesus, you don't have a vine. You may have a bank account. You may have a house. You may have relationships. You may have a great job. You're not on the vine if you don't have Jesus. Jesus says, I'm the true vine. We bear fruit by abiding on the vine. And I like what he says. He says, in you, verse 4 says, abide in me, and I in you. That is so important to understand, I in you. The purpose of Jesus abiding in us is because, in us abiding in him, because he wants to carry our load. Jesus wants to carry your burden. How important is that to understand? 1 Peter 5:7, cast all your care upon him, for he careth for you. We abide on that vine, and he abides in us together. We are together. Because he wants to carry your burden. He wants to carry your cares. And I'm going to give you, abiding in Christ. Abiding in Christ, what does it mean? What do we receive from that? When we get that nourishment from the vine. Verse 4 says, I think that's what's up. Abide in me, I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself. We can't do it, man. We can't do it. We can't do it except that abide in the vine. No more can ye except ye abide in me. So abiding in Jesus, abiding in Jesus. That word abide, you have to understand what it means. It means to remain, not depart, continue to be present, to endure, to be held. Are you connected to Jesus? Are you connected to Jesus? Are you remaining in Jesus? Are you not departing from Jesus? And these are the benefits of abiding in the vine, right here in the scripture. Verse 7. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, we're going to stop right there. We need to spend time, first of all, in God's word. That's what he says. If you abide in me and my words, we need to spend time in God's word daily. John 1:1 says, in the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. Spending time in God's word is spending time with God. If you're not spending time in God's word, who are you talking to? This is all we have. The inspired word of God, Jesus, is the word. So the word of God, it says, so abiding in Christ means abide in his word. And when we abide in his word, this is what we receive. The word of God says it endures forever. It says it's a sword of the Spirit. It says it's alive and active. It discerns our thoughts and our attitudes of the heart. And it says faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. So unless you're in the word, your faith is going to be very hard. Because this is what Jesus is all about right here. So your faith, if you want to exercise your faith and you want to start saying, Lord, I have faith, well, you got to get into the Word. The Word said it endures, it lasts forever, it's active, it's alive. So when we abide in the vine, we abide in his words, we have life. We are spoken to, we're taught, we're giving a sword of the Spirit to be able to attack things that come against us. Isaiah 55:11. So is my word that goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it. That's his word. Now, if you don't know that, then you're always wondering if something's going to happen. Is it true? Is it false? Is it going to work? And so abiding in the vine, you get to understand the word of God. And the number two, it says, will you ask what you desire? In you, you will ask what you desire. Prayer. Abiding in the vine, our prayers are effective. You will ask what you desire, and it shall be done. That's the benefit of abiding in the vine. That when we go to prayer, we know God hears us. When we go to prayer, we know God's ear is attentive to us. And I like Hebrews 4:16. I love this verse. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. That's not a God that says, stay away from me. That's not a God that says, I hope you're afraid of me. That's not a God that says, well, you weren't good enough to come and see me. That's not a God that says, I'm not listening. He says, come boldly, come boldly, come boldly. What? To the throne of what? Condemnation? To the throne of punishment? Through the throne of, I don't like you today because you weren't a good boy. What does that say? Through the throne of grace that we may attain what? Mercy. When we attach to the vine, when we're attached to the vine, we have the word of God speaking to us and we get to understand it more. Our prayers become effective. Our prayers, we know, goes to a God who's listening, not just to see what he can dissect and say, well, I think I'll answer this one, not that one. I think you were good, but not good enough. Hallelujah, man. We serve a God. We come to his throne boldly. He hears the prayers of the righteous, it says. The prayer of the righteous man is powerful and effective. Pray without ceasing, the Bible says. That's what we get when we're on the vine. We get to do that, and we get to understand that we're not just doing it because he tells us to do it. We get to do it because we know he's listening, and he hears us. He hears us. Number three, all in this one verse, abiding in the vine. Verse 8, by this my Father is glorified. Wow. Abiding in the vine glorifies the Lord. How many of us want to glorify God? I do. Well, attach yourself to the vine. Stay on the vine. There's, you know, trials and our precious things when we allow them to draw us close to God. We're all going to go through trials. We're all going to go through something in our life. Everything we go through is to see God glorified. Peter 1 says that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perish, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. So even though when we're attached to the vine, we can go through things in life, but because we're attached to the vine, is that we can make it through the persecution, we can make it through the trials, and we know that through that, God is going to be glorified. That is the benefit. That's what we receive when we abide in the vine, that God will be glorified. You know, people say, oh, I love to glorify God. It's amazing when you hear people, they say things like, I want to glorify God. Okay, what are you going through right now? Oh, man, you don't want to know what I'm going through. Oh, my job and my family, my car broke down. And, you know, and I got to take the cat to the vet, and I got to do this, I got to do that. It's like, do you want to be glorified? You want God glorified? Oh, yeah, I want God glorified. Well, what are you doing about it? I pretty much got angry, kicked the cat, got angry with my mechanic. What else was the other one? Hey, you want to glorify God? Take your circumstances and give it to Jesus. He's the vine. He's the nourishment. What are you feeding off when your car breaks down or your kids kind of go a little haywire? Or you have a child that's not walking with God. Or you have a spouse. Life happens. Life happens. And if we are going to be a church that God's called us to be, then in my life, everything I'm going through right now, my attitude better be, I'm going to glorify you, God. Because that's bearing fruit. That's bearing fruit. And the last one. Oh, okay. I said the last one, but the last one is really short. And the fourth thing, it says right here, so you will be my disciples, verse 8. All this in two verses. Why we abide in the vine, what we receive from abiding in the vine. We demonstrate our discipleship by his love. He has an eternal love. It says in verse 9, as the Father loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in me. Can you imagine that? As the Father, as God, loves his Son and his Father, how they love us. That's what happens when you abide in the vine. It's an eternal love. In a world starving for real love, we have the promise of God's eternal love. Jesus promises to love us as the Father loves him. Wow. You can't comprehend that. I don't care if I ask the best scholar in here to write me a paper on that. You couldn't do it justice. You couldn't. But he loves you like that. It's an unconditional love. 1 John 4:10, in this is love, not that we have loved God, but that he has loved us. Oh, wow. We become disciples of Jesus because we understand this love when you attach yourself to the vine. God loved you before the world was formed. God loved you before you were born. Come on. You can't get any better than that. It's an unchangeable love. Romans 8:35 says, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? Go on. As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. In all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us, attached to the vine. We're more than conquerors. Come on, church. It isn't that bad. Yes, physically it may be bad. But spiritually, this is about eternity. It's awesome. Next. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. That's what you get when you attach yourself to the vine. Hallelujah. Praise God. You can't beat that. It has covered everything. No matter what you're going through, it's covered it. We sang about it. The songs that the worship team chose this morning, it started off with his love endures forever. Don't get me going. Don't get me excited, because this is what it's all about. This is why we live and move and have our being, because Jesus loves us. He loves you. I don't think enough people have told you that. He loves you. Let that sink in. Let that sink in. And the last one. And it is the last one. Our joy becomes full. We experience Christ's joy in us. It says, these things I have spoken to you that my joy, Jesus is joy, verse 11, may remain in you and that your joy may be full. Just put that up, 15:11. Okay, church. Can we do this? We talked about holiness. when we started holiness, it was like this far off thing. I guess when I'm dead, I might be holy. Or I guess if I'm old and gray, which I already am now, I might get holy. No, we already talked about holiness. It's separated to God. As soon as you receive Christ, you were holy. And then he commands us and calls us to walk in that holiness. So now we're talking about fruit. Oh, how can I bear fruit? How can I? And God has made it so simple. Attach yourself to the vine, the true vine, the only vine, and understand that God is the vine dresser. That even Jesus only did what he saw his Father and heard his Father say. You want to be fruitful? Because the Bible says, be fruitful, bear much fruit, more fruit, fruit that remains. That's the only way you can do it, if you will stay on the vine. The true vine. The true vine. The true vine. That's it. The Lord is helping. This is what I feel like the Lord is saying to me, to you, to us as a church. He wants to do some great things. He wants to do great things. He's a great God. But I think that he's teaching us as a church that we can do this. It's not as hard as the world has made it out to be. And that's why I'm spending more time on some of these things that, you know, I've read them, I've been taught it, in ways that I didn't understand it, in ways I couldn't do it, and made it so hard for me. And God is saying, it isn't. You can be fruitful. You can bear much fruit. And you can have great increase. And your fruit can remain. Thank you. Thank you, Ben, for putting that up. Safe and secure on the vine. Thank you. Awesome. Please, please, hear God. Sometimes I say, please hear me. Don't hear me. Hear God. God's speaking to us today. And he's starting something awesome in this church. All right, let us stand. And we'll be able to go downstairs and cool off and have some hot coffee. And hey, God is good. I am so happy. Thank you for everyone coming out today. If you're new with us, we're glad you're here. I'm just so excited that God is just teaching us how to walk this thing out in a way that we all can understand. Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you for Calvary. Lord, thank you for the cross first. And then I thank you for the cross first. And then I thank you for the cross first. And then I thank you for Calvary Gospel. We wouldn't have Calvary Gospel unless we had Calvary. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. That the vineyard, us, Calvary Gospel, belongs to you. Calvary Gospel belongs to you. We are relinquishing our control. And we're saying, Lord, have your way in this church. Do what you've always planned for this church to do, that you have planned. And God, that we would open up our hearts, see with your spiritual vision what you've called this church to do. Your heart is the lost, so we know we're going after the lost. And your heart says, in the Great Commission, go make disciples. We're going to do that. And go baptize, and we're going to do that. Lord, that we stay focused on what you have called this church to do, your vision, your focus. I thank you for this church. I love this church. You love this church more than any of us, more than I could love this church. But God, you're making this word so important and to prick our hearts and say, God, what do we have to do to take the next step as a church and as an individual? And so, Lord, thank you for your favor and your blessings upon us. Thank you for your Son. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen, amen, amen. Come downstairs in fellowship. Give me about 10, 15 minutes and we'll have it in our office, my office out back here.